The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus stood among the disciples, and he said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified, and thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and see my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. At 8 o'clock, I asked for some stories, and I asked people to say it out loud, and I thought, it's not going to work very well at 10:30, but you know what? We're going to do it. So, this is not a rhetorical question. This is just something, I mean, you can shout out the answers, help me pick them out, and I automatically say that Reverend Robin and Father Clark and Deacon Phyllis, do not jump in, because we're going to give it to everybody else. I did the same for Father Carl, who attends at 8 o'clock. Okay. What stories are there in the Gospels that involve Jesus and food? Feeding of the 5,000. And in Mark's Gospel, also, the feeding of the 4,000. Did you know there are two of them? Now, in the feeding of the 5,000, what did they use to feed them? Fish and bread. How many loaves?
Five.
Five loaves and two fish. Bonus question. Afterward, the disciples went and picked up all the leftovers. How many baskets? 12 baskets. Great job. What else? The Last Supper. Absolutely. I mean, that one is so important. That is what we shape our life of faith around. But when we think about it as Jesus taking the bread and saying, "This is my body," and then the wine, "This is my blood," we forget that that wasn't everything. It was a meal, so there was conversation. In John's Gospel, we're told that Jesus says, "The one who will betray me is one dipping into the dish." And Judas does, and Jesus says, "Go what you do." So, but the Eucharist, obviously, is a really important one. What else? Emmaus. Thank you very much. I should have kind of said something about Jim too. He's also a ringer. The road to Emmaus, which is actually right before the gospel we have today. I'll address that in a minute. What else? Cana. Now, they don't talk about food, but it was a wedding banquet when they ran out of wine. In John's gospel, the first miracle of Jesus, and his mom says, hey, they've run out of wine. And Jesus says, woman, what does that have to do with me? And she tells him, fill the jars with water, do what he tells you. So he's a good Jewish son, and he goes and he turns the water into wine. And we're told it's the best wine. Like, the wine steward is like, wow. But clearly, Jesus didn't just go there and stand there and make wine. He was participating in the banquet, eating, enjoying conversations. You know, this was kind of something he did regularly. So there's one. What's another one? What's over here? Yes, thank you. One of my favorites. Jesus making breakfast. So at the in John's gospel, Jesus has appeared to the disciples in the upper room. Thomas wasn't with them. We heard last week the story of when Jesus appears again, and Thomas is with them. And then Jesus is not around, and Peter's like, oh, let's just go back to the beginning. Very Princess Bride. And he goes back to the beginning, and they go, and they're fishing in Galilee, and they see this man on the boat where they haven't caught any fish at all. That's food, too, by the way. You know, it may not be a meal, but... And the stranger on the shore says, put your nets out there. And they're like, Pull in so many fish that it almost swamps the boat. And Peter realizes it's Jesus, and he swims there. And what's Jesus doing? He's grilling fish. He's making breakfast. He says, come, eat. How is that? You know, this post-resurrection appearance of Jesus cooking breakfast. What else?
Zacchaeus.
Thank you, Kathy. She's up in the, she was standing there waiting for her spot. Zacchaeus. Did you ever sing the Wee Little Man Was He song of Zacchaeus? Jesus is going through their crowds and crowds of people. Zacchaeus is a tax collector, money lender. Those are the enemies for the people, but he really wants to see Jesus. And because he's so short, he climbs a sycamore tree. And as Jesus comes through all these throngs, Jesus says, Zacchaeus, I'm coming to eat at your house. And he does. So they're there, and there are other people, like people who are following him. And they're all grumbling behind the scenes, like, I should not be here. It's just, he is, you know, this man who's only after money. And Zacchaeus says, I do everything I can. I don't charge too much interest, and I really I give back of what I've gotten. I've really, really tried. Jesus, by eating with him, it's another kind of straw on the camel's back. What else? The woman at the well. Okay, that's a great one. I didn't think of that one. Woman at the well in John's gospel. She is there at Jacob's well in the middle of the day. Jesus sits and talks with her and says, could you give me something to drink? There's more. Jesus eats with Matthew, the tax collector. There are a lot of stories about him being at meals many times with his opponents, the Pharisees, and things going on behind the scenes. And Jesus will state a parable because he ate with people you weren't supposed to eat with. And that was a big deal. But we understand from that really Jesus is having, I mean, he's got to eat all the meals, and he's there always with people. We're told he goes off by himself to pray, but he always eats with people. There are parables that deal with food, the woman with a bit of yeast in the flour. Today is not one where we see the same way. So often these meals that are recorded are kind of Jesus the teacher. But here, right after the road to Emmaus, now in Luke's gospel, what happens is the women go in the morning, including his mother, And they go in the morning and they find the tomb empty and they're told that he is risen. They race to tell the apostles. They're all in disbelief, and Peter runs to the tomb, and he's the only one who really kind of believes because he saw the empty tomb, but they still don't know. So two guys are walking to Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem. We do not know where it is. I went to when I went on my pilgrimage last year, we were up on a kind of a hillside looking over like the countryside and Jerusalem in the background. And so these two men are walking to Emmaus, and a stranger starts walking along with them. And the stranger says, you know, kind of, oh, you know, what are you talking about? And they go, do you not know about Jesus of Nazareth, who they say was the Messiah? And, you know, he was crucified, and now some have said that he has risen from the dead, and we're just, they're puzzled. They're really perplexed because they believed that Jesus was the Messiah, but then instead of being the warrior king who got them out of oppression, instead, Jesus is killed and dies. So the stranger, who you might have already figured out is Jesus, it says, well, don't you understand the scriptures? And he, as they walk along this journey, he says, you know, here's what the prophets said. Here is what David said in the Psalms, that and all showed it all how it predicted the Son of Man would die and then be raised again. They get to their location. They're going in to have some dinner. It's night. The stranger starts to walk away. They go, oh, no, come. Hospitality was important, so you often ate meals in groups. And so they sit down with Jesus, and he takes the bread, and he breaks it after he's given thanks, and they realize, they see him in the breaking of the bread. Now, we're told in that story that Jesus then just disappears. So we don't have a record there of him eating, but food was how they recognized him. So today's gospel follows right after. They have raced back to tell the disciples who are in the upper room that he has risen and they've encountered him, but Jesus is already there. Peace be with you. Remember last week in Doubting Thomas? Same thing. Peace, although down. Anyway. So peace be with you, and of course they're terrified. They think it's a ghost or a spirit. This is not in their realm of understanding. And Jesus is very physical. Remember the flesh I talked about previously. Why are you frightened? Why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself touching me and see, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have. So they're amazed and joyful and still a bit kind of not comprehending. And Jesus says, have you anything here to eat? Have you anything here to eat? Now, there are a couple of interpretations, maybe a combination of them. One is that Jesus is really trying to assure them that he is resurrected bodily. And so he is one to, you know, kind of eat and show them, see, would it touch me and see, does a ghost have flesh and bone? Does a ghost eat? So when he eats, they go, oh, yeah. Again, knowing him in the breaking of the bread. But think about this. Jesus spent his entire ministry, those last 3 years of his public ministry, eating with people he loved or people that challenged him. And maybe he's doing this so that he can have that again for himself, not just for the disciples. Or maybe Jesus is hungry. Maybe this meal is one that they share. They give him a piece of broiled fish, and I really truly would believe that it's not just to prove something, but it is instead Jesus entering back into what he taught the whole time, which is you sit down together, you break bread. And all those meals, when we hear a story of a parable or a miracle, we know that that wasn't it. Like the wedding at Cana, there's lots of other conversation. I can't imagine when Jesus is eating this piece of broiled fish that it's not about them all sitting down together, talking. I imagine lots of laughter. This is joyous news for them. Have you anything here to eat? At that Last Supper, Jesus said of the bread, when he blessed it, he broke it, he gave it to them and said, "Eat this, all of you. This is my body, which is given for you." And at the end of the supper, when you would do this, he takes a cup of wine and he says, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant." When we come up here around the communion rail and we receive communion, everybody is a bit different on how they feel about it, maybe even different days. And it's generally polite not to kind of look at other people or engage. You come and you do your thing, let other people do their things. But I'm just going to ask you to do this. Don't stare, don't make it a big thing, but just be aware. Be aware of the people next to you right now. Be aware of the people next to you at this rail. This is not play acting. This is doing what Jesus not only taught, but lived. That it doesn't matter if you were followers, if you have doubts, if you are kind of struggling, if there is any kind of conflict, the one place we all belong is at Jesus' table. Now, this is something I ask you to be aware of now, but I especially want you, after Pentecost, when it is not me that's standing before you, that you still look around, you're aware. Because it is not about what you eat or how you eat, it is about community. It's about being joined together in the body and blood of Jesus Christ, being united to him, and in it, being united to us all. This sacred act we do is not just kind of a little bit of the service. It is the central act of worship. This is the moment when we come together, we are fed and we are sent forth. Jesus said, "Have you anything here to eat?" Why, yes, yes, we do. Amen. Amen.